Thank you, Dwight. You know, those songs tonight remind all of us of the pardon and the forgiveness of Almighty God. And I've often thought, you know, isn't it a wonderful thing to know that God really is such a forgiving Lord? It is. For all of us stand in need of the forgiveness of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. And if we say we've not sinned, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. John said, and Paul says that all have sinned, Romans 3, and come short of the divine glory of God in heaven. Forgiveness is a wonderful thing. It is. Think about how wonderful forgiveness really is. The question, someone said, is to forgive or not to forgive. You know, sometimes people find it real easy to forgive other people. People have a forgiving heart, and other people find it difficult to forgive when there has been an infraction against them. It's a tough thing to do at times, to forgive someone. As I mentioned this morning, when you've been let down by certain people, then sometimes it's kind of tough for us to enact forgiveness. And if we say we forgive, we still may harbor a little animosity in our heart one toward another. But God, over and over throughout the Word of God, and Jesus dealt with it immensely in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, unless we were willing to forgive, then God will not forgive us. And that's borne out even in what we commonly refer to as the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6. Where Jesus taught the disciples to pray, and one of the things that he taught them to pray was this: Father, if you're whichever translation you're reading from, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Now, you may be reading another translation that says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. We have to be forgiving. If we're going to honor God and we're going to please our Father in heaven, you cannot do it with a heart that is filled with bitterness and resentment and animosity toward a brother. Why is it so important to forgive? Let me share a few things with you tonight. When we forgive other people, rage does not consume us. Now, I've seen people get so mad, and they harbor all of those bad things in their heart. And rage really takes over. If you've ever noticed that, you know what I'm telling you is true. Not only does rage not consume you, but vengeance does not tempt you. We are oftentimes tempted to hold things against one another. And I have been in gospel meetings sometimes when people would respond in a public way and make statements like this to me, and I mean this sincerely. I want God to forgive me of the sins of resentment that I have held against a brother in this church for over 25 years. Now, can you imagine how miserable that man's life must have been? Because every time he saw that individual, he resented him. And even when he was away from him, he would go to bed tonight with him on his mind. He would get up in the morning with that same person on his mind. And if he saw him on the street, he held that same vengeant attitude toward that brother. Someone was talking to me yesterday. They're not here tonight. And they were telling me about an issue in their life that they'd had with a doctor. And they said, you know, we just felt like that he messed up and said, wrote him a letter, and the doctor even came out and visited with them and sat down and talked with them and said there'd just been a misunderstanding. And before he left, he said, do you mind if I lead us in prayer? And the animosity was gone. And the heartache and the bitterness that could have dwelt in their hearts was gone. Mood issue. Arrogance, when we forgive one another, arrogance does not control us. And I'm going to tell you something. If you do not have a forgiving heart, you will be arrogant and you will be rude to that person. You will. You will be haughty. You will be filled with pride. You will think that you have been wounded, and because of your wound, you're going to take it to the grave with you. And when we forgive, arrogance does not control us. But in reality, the weak can never forgive. They can't. Forgiveness is an attitude of those who are strong, spiritually speaking. And I would say to any of you tonight, if you have something in your heart against a brother, you need to practice Matthew chapter 18. Don't talk about the brother. Don't talk about the sister. Jesus said, if you have aught in your heart, you go to that brother and you work it out. And if that brother remains obstinate and unforgiving, then you go and take two or three witnesses with you that every word may be established. And then if he will not hear you then he said you take it to the church. And if he will not hear the church, then you are to let that man be unto thee as a heretic. Now that's how serious this business is of forgiveness. It is. Weak people cannot forgive, but strong people can. We must be willing and ready. One translation says to be quick to forgive. Now, in the book of Matthew 18, verse 23 through 35, a little bit lengthy reading, but I put it up here for you. I want you to understand just how important forgiveness is in the eyes of God. Jesus said, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. A lot of money. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children and all that he had, that the payment might be made. But the servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion. He had the right attitude. And he loosed him, and he forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which only owed him 100 pence, which is a meager amount compared to the 10,000 talents. And he laid his hand on him, and he took him by the throat, saying, pay me what thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet, and he too besought him, saying, have patience with me, I will pay thee all. And he would not. But he went and he cast him into prison till the debt should be paid. So when the fellow servant saw what was done, they were very sorry. And they came and told their Lord, actually, all that was done. Then the Lord, after he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked and slothful servant, I forgave thee all the debt because you desired it of me, but simply because you asked. And he said, shouldn't thou not also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth. I don't know if you know what the word wroth means. It means that he was tremendously angry himself. And he delivered him to the tormentors till all the debt should be paid that was owed unto him. And then Jesus concludes by saying, and likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespass. I'm going to tell you something, folks. You know what? When you harbor those bad feelings in your heart, it does more damage to you than it does to the person that you have vengeance toward. It does. It isn't going to help you at all. It hurts you. And that's why Jesus says, get rid of those horrible, horrible attitudes that destroy the peace and the happiness and the joy that God wants to bring into our life. Forgiveness is not, let me tell you this also, because there are a lot of mistakes and a lot of misconceptions about this one thought of forgiveness. Forgiveness is not approving, excusing, or overlooking the offense. Now, that may sound contrary to what I'm saying. It's not. What I'm telling you is that there is a higher judge to whom people stand accountable, and that's God. When you forgive someone, it does not mean that you have to excuse their behavior. It does not mean that you have to approve their behavior. You don't want it to look like you're approving what they do by forgiving them. But forgiveness is full and free. It's not overlooking the offense, but it's not bringing it to the forefront of your mind every time you see that person. It's not even forgetting the offense. It's not. You know, there's some things that are so indelibly impressed upon our mind. Did you know Jesus never ever told us to forgive and forget? Now, that's common terminology in today's world. People say, well, you know, you just have to forgive and forget. Show me in the Word of God where Jesus said that you had to forget. He said you had to forgive. It's amazing sometimes how we add little things or little addendums to some of the things that Jesus has to say in His will. It's not even ceasing to feel the pain. I've had people do things to me in my lifetime, and sometimes the pain arises again. I'm not saying it's a cessation of feeling painful things that have happened to you in the past, but you still forgive a person. You don't hold it against them. I don't hold anything tonight, and before God, I mean this, against anyone. You know why I don't? First of all, because it's the right thing, the right attitude to have. And I know that's what my Lord wants me to do. And I know that I can't get into the portals of glory, into the heavenly of heavens, until I cease to have bitterness in my heart toward anyone. Now, let me say this also. It's not trusting the offender. If someone does you wrong, we would do well to be very cautious in what we do with that person. We would. It doesn't mean that you have to trust the offender simply because you forgive them. Someone said, you know, if a man makes a mistake and he hurts you, forgive him. But that doesn't mean you have to trust him completely that he's going to do the right thing next time. But what do you do when he does it again? Well, Jesus says you learn to forgive, didn't he? In that Matthew 18 chapter where Jesus is discussing an issue, this subject of forgiveness, it comes up in a dialogue with Simon Peter. And Peter asked Jesus, he said, you know, how often should I forgive my brother if he sins against me? Seven times? Now, Simon thought that was a pretty logical answer. And so he looks into the face of God and he says, you know what, Lord, if I forgive him seven times, that's a lot. That's a complete number. And after I've forgiven seven times and I think I have mastered this thing of forgiveness, and Jesus says, wait a minute, Peter. Not seven times, but 70 times seven. And Jesus really wasn't limiting it to 490 times. But what he was saying is that we ought to be a people that always have a forgiving heart. Now, as I said a moment ago, we always stand accountable to the higher judge, whoever we are. And so that doesn't mean that when you forgive someone, you neglect justice. Justice still has to be paid. A lot of times people think, well, if all of the convicts out at Cofield suddenly become Christians, you turn them out on society. Not so. God never taught that. You can forgive a person in prison if he truly becomes a Christian, is baptized for the remission of sins, he can be forgiven. People are, it happens all the time. We have people that call, they go out, they're baptized, and they become members of the Lord's church. But that doesn't mean that they are exonerated of their commitment to society. You see, we have a debt to society and a debt to God. God removes our debt, but we still have to pay for the consequences of our wrongdoing here upon this earth in a civil way. But in order for us to please God, we have to erase the debt. And that's a tough call. It's one of the toughest things that Jesus ever taught. I'm not telling you this is an easy thing to do tonight. But what I am telling you is that it is the right thing to do. Am I a master of it? No, I'm not telling you that. But what I'm telling you, it is the right thing to do. You will be weighed down under debt the rest of your life. And this debt is much worse than a monetary debt you could ever amass in your life. But many carry that debt forever. They do. And walk around with it day in and day out when it would be so easy just to release. And that really is what forgiveness is. You're releasing it. And you're putting it in the hands of God. He's the one that's really going to judge us all, isn't he? He's the righteous judge, Paul says in the book of 2 Timothy. But some say, I will never forgive them as long as I live. You've heard that before. I've heard it many times in my life. I don't know how anyone could ever have that attitude and think that they could ever be pleasing in the eyes of Jehovah. It isn't going to happen, folks. Many of us need to cancel the debt held against others and begin to live again. You know what? There's no life when you go around harboring these bad, bad feelings in your heart toward a brother or a sister in Christ, or really, for that matter, against anyone. Whether they're a brother or not. We always talk about the national debt and how bad it is. Almost 20, think about it, trillion dollars. I hope we're going to resolve that. Because I hate to think that my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren, as I mentioned this morning, are going to be paying off the debt that we made in our lifetime. That's a horrible thing to saddle someone with. But in America, we're chained to debt. Some of our greatest fear is the national debt. We worry about the future. But we have to make sure that we're doing the right thing. And I'm going to tell you something, worse than the national debt is the debt that you carry around in your heart and in your life towards someone else. It's worse. To many, their greatest fear is their personal debt. I've never understood that, how people, you know, and people do mass tremendous debt. I mean, they go into debt, they use credit cards, and you can cut those things up, folks. Like a guy told me one time, he said, I gave my wife plastic surgery. I said, what'd you do? And he said, I cut up her credit cards. Well, that's a pretty good thing. By the way, I heard today one man said that he and his wife had a psychological relationship. I said, really? He said, yeah, she's a psycho and I'm logical. Well, you may know of people like that too. I don't know. But sometimes people will burn the debt others owe them. And isn't that a wonderful thing when people can have such a forgiving attitude? You know, listen, when you take that load off of your life, you will feel better. You do. And I'm telling you, it's true. When you unload the debt, and that's why Jesus said we ought to do it. Sometimes those debts are pretty large. Whether it's money, or whether it's an infringement upon your life by something they did or something they said. Our greatest fear should be to hold the debt against someone spiritually speaking. That should be the greatest fear. Because I'm going to tell you what, that kind of fear And that kind of debt will keep you out of heaven. It will. When you read the book of Revelation 21 and verse 8, you'll notice right along with the catalog of other sins there, notice what he says, "But the fearful, the unbelieving, shall have their part in the lake which burneth of fire and brimstone." Forgiveness is not something we do for other people. And I want you to keep that in mind. I've been trying to say that all night. But forgiveness is not something we do for other people. It's something that we do for ourselves, and then we move on. Forgive others, not because they deserve forgiveness. I'm not saying they deserve it. We didn't deserve it either. And Christ came into the world. The Bible says again in Romans 5 and verse 8, "But while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. And he commended his love to us in doing it." But you forgive because you deserve peace. You see, the first to apologize is the bravest. The first to forgive is the strongest. And the first to forget is the happiest. I'm not saying you have to forget, but if you can, you'll find a joy and a happiness in your heart that perhaps you hadn't had in a long, long time. Many of us are weighed down by debt, spiritual debt, but Jesus paid it all. And I stand before you tonight as a child of God, a Christian, because Jesus paid my sin debt a long time ago. And listen, the price that he paid and the blood that he shed is just as efficacious right now as it was 2,000 years ago. And he forgave me, and he forgave us, and he made me debt free. And I claim that forgiveness every day in my heart and in my life. I do. There's so many things that we really stop and think about it. Sins that we have committed. Sins of cursing and lying and jealousy. Cheating. Hate. Selfishness. Temper. Quarreling. Stealing. Disobeying. Bad talk. Jesus took all of that on himself at the cross. And because he did, when we come to him in obedience to his gospel, we become debt free. But why should I be so eager to forgive? To be more like the Lord, number one. The Bible says he left us an example that we should follow in his steps. I want to be more like him. Secondly, to keep from being corrupted. I know that I become corrupted. Nobody likes anything that is corrupted. And to encourage repentance on the part of the offender. You mark my word, I can tell you this is true. That when a person has done you wrong, and that person asks you to forgive him, he won't generally do it unless we have the attitude of forgiveness. But you can bring that brother or sister to the point of them repenting by possessing the right attitude yourself. In Romans 12 and verse 20, Paul says, "Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head." So to receive the spiritual blessings of peace and joy and unhindered prayer. And by the way, think about that, unhindered prayer. Jesus said, if you can't forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. To receive the spiritual blessing of unhindered prayer and God's forgiveness, we must be forgiving. But number three, When it's hard to forgive, ask yourself, how would I want to be treated if the roles were reversed? I'll tell you, that'll change your perception of things. How would I want to be treated if the roles were reversed? Or how much has God forgiven me? Romans 5:28. He has freely forgiven us all things. Or how important is it for me to go to heaven? Can't get there with an unforgiving heart. Think of Stephen and the Jews. The Bible says that at that preaching of Stephen, that they railed upon him, gnashed upon him with their teeth. But he knelt down and he cried with a loud voice. He practiced what Christ had to say in Matthew 5:44 about forgiving your enemies. And he said, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Acts 7:60. Think about Jacob and Esau. Remember the story in the Old Testament? How Esau gave Jacob, or how Jacob and Esau were having issues with one another. And Esau sold his birthright to Jacob, who gave him that mess of pottage. Esau was coming after him one day. And Jacob, his brother, didn't know what he was going to do. So he mastered the forgiving attitude and he wanted to say, I'm sorry for what I have done. And Esau came into his presence. And Esau, instead of coming with a heart filled with animosity and bitterness, he stood at his brother's face and he said, looking into your face is like looking into the face of God. And they embraced, and he fell on his neck, and he kissed him, and they wept. For therefore have I seen thy face, as though I had seen the face of God. And thou was pleased with me. God is willing and ready to forgive if we will hear the word of God, Romans 10:17. And through the hearing of that word, become believers in Christ with all of our heart. Acts 16:31, like the jailer. And upon a confession of our faith in Christ, he stands ready and willing for us to obey him when we have that penitent heart. Acts 17:30. For in the times of ignorance, God winked at, but now he commands all men everywhere to repent. For he hath appointed a day wherein he is going to judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, even Jesus, whereof he hath given us the assurance that he hath raised him from the dead. And when one is immersed in water baptism for the remission of sins, and that's exactly what the Bible teaches in 1 Peter 3:21, Peter said, it's not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, wherein baptism doth also now save us. And then we know we must remain faithful to God. Jesus taught in Revelation 2:10. And if we err as Christian children, as I mentioned this morning, hey, we have to have a penitent attitude and pray for forgiveness. Aren't you glad that when you go into the face of God and penitently asking God to forgive you, that God doesn't say, I'll forgive you, but I'm going to put you on probation. He doesn't do that. He freely forgives us. Acts 8:22. The Bible says if we confess our sin, James 5:16. That he is willing to forgive us, because forgiveness really is a gift, and one must be baptized in Christ to receive that gift of forgiveness. And when one has sinned either by word, by action, by attitude, He must confess his sin, repent, pray, and seek the forgiveness of our Father who is in heaven. 1 John 1 and verse 9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And brethren, it doesn't happen any other way, and it can't be clearer than that. Jesus shed his blood. And that blood, as I said, is still just as powerful tonight to forgive us. And if there are things in your life which you need to seek forgiveness tonight, things you need to let go of and allow the peace of God to multiply in your life, I hope that you'll come to Christ tonight while we stand and while we sing.